Welcome back to Words from the Woods, a Trails Rock podcast. We are really excited today to be joined by Nick Vermilion and Jen Campanella. Nick and Jen are freshly back from Nick's first attempt at running the Barkley Marathon at Frozen Head State Park in Tennessee. Yes, that Barkley, the one made famous by a Netflix documentary but still remains shrouded in mystery. Nick and Jen talk about what it was like to get in, what it was like to witness history with the first ever female finisher happening this year, and what it will take to have success at the event in the future. Give us a listen and see what it might take for you to go race at Barkley. All right, we're back. We have a special episode this week because we're supposed to record every other week, and when we left last week, I jokingly said I have no idea what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. And this helps us not have to worry about next week because we're going to record this week. Because after I made that statement, it came out locally around here that one of our local runners was an entrant into this year's Barkley Marathon. And we are lucky to have that runner here with us today. So, and, you know, crew champion, which you can't,
extraordinaire.
You can't pull this stuff up off without some sort of great crew. So we're welcoming Nick Vermilion and Jen Campanella to the podcast today. So thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
All right. So I know that what everybody is going to tune in for is the Barkley information, but I think it's relevant to talk about who we are, how we got into running a little bit, and you know, what happens locally, because at the end of the day, that's how people expand out into bigger things like Barkley's. They start somewhere. So I know I've gone through Ultra Sign Up results, and I'll probably post those in the show notes. But yeah, why don't we each take a minute or two? Jen, why don't you go first? Tell us, you know, how you got into trail running, and maybe pick a local favorite event that you really like, and then we'll switch to Nick.
Yeah, so I started off as a road runner, as I think most do.
Yeah.
And Nick was actually training me for a road marathon, and I don't know, I just started running trails with him, and I was like, oh, this is a lot more fun than road running. And
it's different.
He was going down to run BFC in September.
Which is the Barkley Fall Classic.
Yep. And I was with him, and I last minute got into that race, and that was my first 50K trail race, and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool.
And that was back in, like, 2019?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So do either of you still run roads, or are you mostly on trails at this point?
The last year or so, I think it's been mostly trails.
Yeah. And, like, because that's how I envision both of you.
But I think it's good to mix in roads. I mean, I still like going fast on the road occasionally. Yeah. I think it's good for training and just to do something different, too.
Yeah.
But I run, yeah, with the kids I coach, I run on the road sometimes. It's not the most fun, but it has its training benefits.
Where do you coach?
At HAC, Harley Allendale, Columbia.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, cross country, indoor track, outdoor
track.
Very
cool.
They're my kids that I don't have kids from. Yeah.
She took over my spot when I retired.
There you go.
I used to help out coaching there, too.
Yeah.
And then,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, how about a favorite local event? Like, what's something, if you were to tell somebody from that you meet when you're out, like, in camp at Barkley, like, hey, if you were going to head to the Rochester region, you should do this race.
And I actually have told multiple people they should come here and run Twisted Branch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing race. And we actually, two of our friends in Tennessee have come twice the last 2 years. And they've run Twisted Branch.
Nice.
That's cool.
It's such a great race. I don't, point-to-point, 100K.
Yeah.
Yeah, great scenery. But also, we have so many local trail races.
We really do.
I know. We're
it's
so
hard
lucky
to pick from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's almost too many.
Sometimes.
That's what I said on the way over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's inundated with,
like,
so
what
many.
What distance do you want to run?
Yeah.
Okay, here's a race.
There's always
for
something
you
available.
Would you say you are mostly like an ultra runner at this point, or would you say you kind of mix it up?
I think I mix it up. I like the shorter distances too. And by shorter, I mean like 13 miles plus. I hate short distances.
Yeah.
But just for, like, a fun run and to be out there with friends and the local
She's
community.
A part-time runner sometimes, too.
Yeah. Sometimes she's like,
you know, she's coaching.
Yeah.
She's got things
fine
to do.
I
she's
do
crewing for you.
Exactly. Someone's got to keep track of the house.
Yeah, I don't know who does that here anymore.
Nobody. The kids. Don't look at our floor.
Fine.
So.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, well, let's jump over. Yeah. So, Nick, your quick background, how you got into running, and what do you like locally here?
So, quick background. I mean, I used to smoke. I took up running to quit smoking.
It's so interesting. There's how a lot many of people
yeah.
smoked.
Yeah, it waterfalled into where I'm at now of running ultras and stupid, crazy races.
Yeah. Slippery slope.
My first ultra was Mind the Ducks in
2012
or something. Mm-hmm. And John Fagveris, he
won
that one. And I think I finished behind him.
Yeah.
But I've done anything from 5Ks to 340-mile HOTS races, Ball State, just about anything.
Do you have a preferred distance?
Somebody asked me that a while ago. I said half marathon is a good distance. Like, you can really push yourself.
I actually
yourself,
like that distance.
Go hard, and you're not completely
not
wrecked.
Yeah.
Whether
or
it's
50K.
Half.
It's a half or 50K.
Yeah. whether it's trail or road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good distance. But, I mean, I don't have a specific distance.
Yeah, yeah.
I just like something that's going to be challenging. Who's going to push yourself and find out, where your limits are.
Right.
And just push yourself.
Yeah.
The more elevation in the race, the better.
So you're a climber.
I thought I was, yes, this past weekend.
There was one of your workouts that you did on leading into it, because I was looking
Eric's
at Strava.
Eric's currently scrolling Strava, looking at your stuff.
Yeah, because I was like, what's he? I had never crossed my mind that it was Barkley, but I'm like, what is he doing? Because you were in, where was it? Maybe
it's Ellison.
Off of Bristol Valley Road.
Yeah,
you were just like,
Bristol?
Up and down, up and down, up and down. I'm like, what's he training for?
You should go
for?
Find the one at Ellison.
I did 12,000 feet and 12 miles at Ellison Park.
Yeah.
Oh,
on this, just
one little.
Yeah.
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 It was insane.
Just up and down, up and down.
Just spending the day climbing.
just about 5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh,
part
boy.
Of the day.
I'm getting text messages. What the hell is Nick doing? I was like, I don't know. That's just Nick.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
That's funny.
It's just fun.
Yeah. So how about if you were going to tell someone that you're out there running with, if you wanted to come to this Rochester Finger Lakes region, an event that you think someone should do? I think
I
found Allison Run.
I've told people about Twisted Branch, and we have friends from Canada who are coming down or on the wait list for Twisted Branch, but also Mighty Mosquito.
I like
that race.
Coming for that last year.
The ultra version.
Yep.
Yeah, for the 100.
And
I think
yeah.
that's fun, too. You can sign up for the 100 miler. Everything, it's going to charity.
Yeah.
So if you only want to run 25 miles that day and, hang out and have some beers with friends.
Yeah.
You can do that, or you can push yourself to, 100 miles.
Yeah, the first year that we hosted it, there was one finisher. But there was a lot of people that were training for big events. And they were like, this is a perfect opportunity to get a really long run with aid station support
and
with my
night.
Friends all day long to be able to be social. So it's really cool. So people that don't know, the Mighty Mosquito is you can run it as a solo event, and it's a looped course. So you're going to do a bunch of loops over and over again. Or you can run it as a relay where you run each leg of each one of the loops once over the course of the time. There's six runners on
and
a team.
How about this year? The overnight 50K version.
Yes, so they just introduced that. Yeah, what are they calling that? Oh, it got a neat name.
Mystical Mosquito.
Yeah, the Mystic Mosquito.
Yeah, there's
or something.
Not very many overnight 50Ks opportunities to run at night.
And it really makes a lot of sense. You're already there in terms of the race organization. Everything is set up. The runners runners that are doing the relay and the runners that are doing the solo are going to be out all night anyway, so nothing changes, but it gives you an opportunity to run at night if you never run at night.
Yeah.
And do it tired.
I'm so excited.
And it's only
are you signed up for it?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
What about you?
So we were at the Trail Running Festival.
Funny story.
And with the raffle tickets, I won entry into the
100. Oh, did you?
So I got
to
run it.
To the 100?
Yes.
Yeah. We got people that won each of the races, we have to contact those people. One of the emails, they couldn't make out the email address, though, so I got to call the guy. Who wants to talk on the phone?
Nobody.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Like, he's like, they can't make out the email. I'm like, ah, damn it, I'll call him. Maybe I'll text.
There you go. Let's start with the text.
Sometimes when I have to reference check for job candidates at work, I'll just send a text message. I'm like, hey, are you available? I'm like, I don't want to talk on the phone.
So different nowadays. It's crazy.
So, cool. So, I guess let's just we'll jump in real quick on a couple of things and then we'll take a break because I want to – once we get into the actual stuff, I don't really want to take too much of a break at that point. So so you applied.
And applied for what?
Apparently to get into Barclay.
Yeah.
And then
– Wait, for the uninitiated, tell us about Barclay.
Watch the 2012 documentary.
we'll link it.
Yeah, so it's a race in Tennessee that is so-called a 100-mile race, five loops at Frozen Head State Park. You got 60 hours to finish the five loops. You got to find book pages in the woods.
And you got to cut those pages out and bring them back with you.
Pull them out, by hand, as best you can without tearing off everything. It's 90% off trail on some pretty gnarly terrain. Since, 1986, prior to this year, there were only 17 finishers, and then this year we had a mass finish.
That's right.
It was pretty crazy, but...
Yeah, so there's 20 total finishers now, and then this year, which we'll get to at some point in the second half, the first female ever finished. And so, 1986, it used to be a shorter course, but in 1986, he changed it to 100 miles. And since that point, now you have 20 finishers, but... What about 40 to 60 people a year will be allowed entry?
Yeah, 40.
40. So you, from 1986 through now, you've had 40 people per year, only 20 finishers. So
the finishing rate is not great.
No.
So what made you want to do this race?
It's been something that's been on my radar since I finished Vol State in 2017. I saw the documentary, like a lot of people, and it kind of appealed to me because it's just so far out there that you're
right.
You know, you're not guaranteed to finish. And
you're almost guaranteed not to.
Really.
And it's just the opportunity to, get out there, push yourself, and challenge yourself to something that's so completely out in left field.
Yeah. So there is no website. There is no entry.
There's a website.
And it's not like there's not public information, right? So we'll get that a little bit when we really get into it. But so you found out. So how you find out that you got in is that they send a letter of condolence. So if you don't get a letter of condolence, you didn't get in. So the only people that get anything are people that got in. So you get that in the mail.
No. Well, maybe in years past you did.
I'm asking.
Now it's email.
Email, okay.
Email. I don't know that anybody gets mail, per se. I got an email. And it said, condolences.
So tell me about that moment.
It was exciting and scary at the same time. And, this has been kind of something that's been, a dream for me for years. I kind of teared up a little bit thinking about it. Like, wow, this is really happening.
Was this the first time you applied? Did you consider it applying? Yeah, right?
Yeah, you applied.
Or you're not allowed to say.
Oh, it wasn't the first time applying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'd been years in the making.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little emotional.
It was
scary at the same time. Like, it was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I got to start doing
guess
some
this is
real
a thing.
Training now.
You take a minute to look at it and say, is this freaking real?
Yeah.
And then so I sent Jennifer a text message, and she's it's like, oh, my fucking God.
I was going to say, so you get this text message, and
it was
what?
A screenshot of it, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah.
You're like,
day
this
at
is
work,
fake.
And I was like, are what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I screamed to my coworkers, like, what is happening? Are you okay? I was like,
and then trying to explain
fine.
It to a coworker who might not be
not
a runner.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's all right.
You're like, everything's fine, but also it's not.
Nick just got some good news.
Yeah.
What was it?
Nothing.
But it was a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
And like the reality of it didn't set in, and I think until actually getting into Frozenhead, like I was not nervous throughout the whole process until we got to Frozenhead.
He was so calm.
And
like I was more,
you were freaking out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
I think keeping it secret has to be really hard.
Well, so you said earlier, you're like, yeah, not for me. You're like, I just don't talk to anyone. But you do talk to people. You run in groups sometimes, and you're showing up at races. So like there's a lot of times where races are going on. We might be putting on an event, and you might not be running the event, but we'll see you putting in big miles on that day, and you're socializing with people that are participating anyway. So you do have a social circle. So and those would have maybe been the people that knew that you were interested even in it. So you can't even share and hint to them, right? Because some people, I think, were starting to figure it out.
Some people may have suspected, but you know, everybody was asking me, oh, "What are you training for? What are you training for?"
Yeah.
Infinitus.
So I've
run Infinitus before, and that's in May, and it's a 10-day 550 mile race, which I didn't finish either. But so that was a good go-to.
And
in the past, I mean, I've done crazy hills before during training. But again, I don't talk to a lot of people. Yeah, we run in groups. I'm still a quiet person.
He is.
I'm a very introverted person.
He'll like run ahead of us all and we'll just all follow. And
like, doing this is like
way out of my comfort zone. Well, here you are.
Yeah.
He's like,
but a lot of people want to hear your story, so I'm glad.
People want to know, though. What about for you?
I was going
to
say,
it had to be so hard.
It was harder for her than
it was so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, we went on like a recruiting trip down there in
recon in
February.
Okay.
And everybody's like, oh, where are you going? And I was like, oh, we're just going to my sister's to visit. And like I hid my Strava. It was all private.
Yeah. Yep.
I just felt like such an asshole. And I kept telling him, I was like, I hate lying to my friends.
Well, and I was just going to say, because it's your friends. It's like people you train with.
Right.
And on those training runs, you're like sharing everything.
Yeah.
Normally.
It was so hard
for
me.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I think I would struggle more than you would.
Probably.
I tell people, like, I'm like an open book. Yeah. I'm like...
Well, and then it's like people that you work with who aren't necessarily runners, but you still aren't allowed to see anything.
That's interesting, too, because you have this huge thing in your life, and you are eventually going to tell people. One, they're probably not going to really understand it even after you tell them.
Right.
But now you're keeping a secret as you're ready to burst and get ready for this thing.
So you are allowed to tell people.
Yeah.
Like that you're in.
Right.
That's your choice.
I mean,
if
like
you want to tell people, you can.
Most people don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a personal choice. Yeah. Like some people don't want the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, if you are in a lead or something like.
Right.
Oh, you're in. You know, you have all that pressure.
I think, you know, because some of the ways to get in, like past winners get in, Barkley Fall Classic winners get in. So, like, if those people, they've got that, like, open invitation. Like, people are like, oh, are they running? And so I think those people are the ones that are more open about it.
Yeah,
and even, like, you know, John Kelly was in this year.
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody knew John Kelly was in, but even he didn't say anything, like, specifically, I'm running Barkley,
right?
You know. So it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
So I'm
when did you find out that you were in?
Sorry, I think it was sometime last winter. I can't remember.
Yeah, because he's got to give you time
But so it was, I mean, that's a long time, too.
Well, luckily, we have friends that have run it before, and we have friends that are part of, like, the race staff. So we got a lot of, like, info from them, and we were able to talk to them and, like, oh, hey, this is what's happening. And so it wasn't, like, a secret between just us. Like,
if
you have
there
been
were
in
some
Barkley,
people.
Yeah, it's okay to, like, share that information with them. So that helped a bunch.
Yeah.
But around here, no, it was hard.
Yeah.
Especially running with friends all the time.
Well, like, we've talked about a lot on this podcast is that there's something about when you are running for a long time, especially out in the woods with friends, that there's this like vulnerability that happens and you start to share the big momentous pieces of your life, but also maybe sometimes the secrets and the dark stuff that maybe you haven't shared with other people. And it's that's why when people are like running is therapy, it's like, because you start to open up and maybe you're not even the type of person that would. Right.
For
and so now you've got this thing. You're like, well, we're not going to do that, but you're with the people that you would do that with. And you're like, shit. Yeah. So that's cool. So, okay, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a really quick break, maybe crack another beer, and then we'll come back. And we want to get into, you know, what it was all about. So we'll do that.
We need to know all the details.
Yep. We're gonna
tell you what I can.
Yeah, we've got the chains and the electrocution devices. We're ready to get the information. All right, we'll be right back, and we're excited to find out more.
All right, we are back, and we are about to get into the deets of the Barkley because we know everybody has questions just like we do. So we are here with Nick and Jen, who are back. It's only been like a week, right?
Yeah.
So they are fresh off their Tennessee experience.
You had your event, and then you hung around for a little bit, and then you drove straight back.
There wasn't a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't – finish it, there still was not a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
We're still both tired.
It was like 60 hours, felt like a week and a half.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
Well, let's get into that then. So, you know, one of the things that's really interesting about this event is that so people that have figured it out will say, no, it's public, but it's not public, like how you get in, right? So we're not going to ask you how to get in, but I'm going to ask you when you found out how.
It was probably 5 or 6 years ago, like how get in. I'm not sure exactly. Can't really remember too many details about that, or I'm not going to share too many details about that.
Okay.
What do you think would happen if somebody did one day? Like if somebody just put it out on the internet, this is what you do.
It would be changed real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then nobody would know.
Right.
back to square one. Has the process been the same, do you think, over all these years?
I don't know.
You can't say? Or you don't know?
I'm not sure.
Like, I wonder if
there's information out there.
Yeah.
So if you go on Matt Mahoney's website.
Right.
And you scroll through and you read through.
I just had
race results and everything. And
yeah.
All the, you know, race reports, you can decipher stuff. So it's in there.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing to look.
And the new
put the time
Barkley in. Barkley book that came out.
The Barkley book.
Talk about it.
A little bit. So there is information out there.
Yeah, so there's that. And then John Kelly,
yep.
Who's a random forest runner, is
he
has
put
been
out,
his site.
And he's actually, so I reached out to him several years ago on... Not how to get in, like,
yeah,
because I knew that one for me, but like where to start if I wanted to kind of go down that road in the future. And he directed me to basically pretty much what he says in his blog now to what he's put out there in previous years and this year as well. And it's good information, and you just have to take it. And go
with it. So I mean, it's kind of like he gives like, so almost like you just did, it's sort of like this vague, like, hey, the information is out there. Yeah. So like, go run like really hard races, like the hardest races you can find, and talk to people at those races, because the only way you could possibly get through Barkley is if you could get through stuff like that. So go do those things, and there might be some people there. Like, there's all kinds of different things that people will hint over the years.
And I think that's part of what makes Barkley Barkley.
Right.
At least for me, anyway. That's still part of the process.
The mystery of it
It's shrouded in mystery.
Right.
And people, there's good information out there. And there's also bad information.
Right.
So it's a matter of trying to figure out which is which.
Yeah.
And it's all part of the process to me. And I think that's partly what was fun, too.
Sure.
Just kind of trying to figure that out and working my way.
One of the things that I've heard over the years is, because I'm always like, why the fuck is this secret? I'm like, just put it out there, dude. And then, because you're going to pick who you want anyway. Like, that's how it is, right? But one of the things that I've heard is that, if you can't be bothered to figure out how to get into the race, how the heck do you think you're going to finish it when it gets hard? And so he invites people that he knows are going to have no chance of finishing the race, but wants to give them the experience. But then the other thing is, like, people that are getting in, like, it's, they've done a little bit of work already. They've run big things. They've talked to the right people. They've dug deep. They've not given up, because you're not going to talk to somebody that you've never met before that's run Barkley, and they're going to just tell you, right? So there has to be, just to get in, right, there needs to be a perseverance. So like you said, you had to figure it out. What's good information? What's bad information? What's this person doing? What's that person saying?
And you don't hear if you don't get in, right? So you don't even know if you applied correctly. Yeah. You just... You're like, well, I guess I'll try again next year and see what happens.
Yeah. You'll know if you did it right. You'll get a letter of condolences, or maybe you'll get on the wait list.
Got it.
So...
Have you ever been on the wait list?
I may have been.
Gotcha. Is this an event that you would ever be interested in running?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a pretty, it's very special. It's cool. I don't know.
Yeah. Were you interested, like, would you have been interested before you actually went down there to crew? Or did, like, going there and actually being there and experiencing it make you interested? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I've definitely been intrigued.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Before, when I first met him and first learned about it, I was like, this is insane.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Who would want to do this?
Yeah.
And then just like,
and after now you're like, hey, BFC, you know?
And like talking to people that have been there and stuff like that, it's like, okay, this is very intriguing.
Yeah.
It gets in your blood.
Yeah. The park itself is just, it's amazing. Like, everybody.
And it's Frozen Head State Park in Tennessee.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
so
beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask this. So we know about Matt Mahoney's. We know about John Kelly's. Is there one hint that you could give people locally here? Because we don't have a huge following. You're like, one hint of, here's something that you could do to start your process. How could someone start their journey to Barkley?
For that, I would say register for the Fall Classic. And go from there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That, okay, to me, is the biggest thing that you can do to move forward. And if you really want to run Barkley at one point, register for the Fall Classic. Get in. You know, get in the wait list. Get in.
Mm-hmm.
Run that. And then you're going to meet a lot of people that run Barkley.
Yeah.
Have done fun runs. Mm-hmm. I've run with people that... I've done a fun run, done several loops at Barkley. They're down there. And it also gives you that introduction to that park and parts of what may or may not be on the Barkley course. And then going forward, like, if after that you still want to apply for Barkley,
right,
then you can move forward, because it's like no other race, just a 50K.
I was going to ask, so is the Fall Classic also off-trail, or is it mostly on March?
Most of it's on-trail.
Okay.
Some of it is off-trail. It touches a few spots that have been in the Barkley in the past.
Yeah. Okay.
Rat Jaw is the biggest one. And if you think Rat Jaw is bad and you're struggling up Rat Jaw, you have no chance at the big Barkley, because Rat Jaw is tame compared to the other climbs that are out there.
Yeah.
So that's... To me, that's the biggest thing. Get down there to the park.
I think, the Fall Classic gives you a little bit of a taste, right? So he doesn't want any GPS there.
Nope.
He is pretty clear, like, no poles.
No pole. Limited aid.
Yeah, like, you can't – there's no drop bags. There's no leaving stuff out on the course. It's like, hey, I want you to come and do this thing, which is a mini thing compared to the actual thing. And I want it to be hard also. So, like, here's some rules to break that down for you. So it's like – you know,
in case a 50K isn't hard enough.
Right.
In case a 50K with lots of elevation isn't hard enough.
And it may be 31 miles. It may be 40 miles.
Right.
Somewhere in that range.
Ish. It's a trail race.
But
everything is ish.
It gives you that experience, because most people are used to aid stations.
Right.
That are fully stocked every couple miles. And this is, you're on your own for a little bit. And the aid stations they've gotten a little bit better in the years, because the local football team has taken it upon themselves to have Coke at some of them and stock them. But they used to be really limited.
Okay.
A beef stick, potato chips, water, tailwind, or not tailwind.
I'm a big fan of very basic aid stations.
So no watermelon.
No watermelon.
I cannot that. Stand as a race director trying to ask volunteers to lug that stupid fruit out into the woods, and then you're lugging 90% of it back out as trash.
Neither one of us likes watermelon either, so I think like that's a big part of it.
If you could
but also,
listen, we've always wondered why.
Even if you could just drive it up, right? And you need, imagine 25 watermelon.
It takes
where's
up
that
so
going?
Much space.
Yeah. Where's it going? Like, that's an entire car just for your watermelon.
It tastes so good, though, at the right time.
But it's so silly. There's no nutritional value.
Then, yeah, that's his other thing.
Just hits that
it
right
just doesn't
spot.
Make any sense.
I'll give you some candy that tastes like watermelon at every aid station.
So that's what we... Well, that's what we've been doing now, is, like,
that
those
has
stupid
more value
sour watermelon
it's got sugar
candies.
In it. It's got...
Yeah.
So it's just a point thing taken. At this, but now it's a thing at this point. So the first couple of years it was a joke, and now I'm like, now we're. But so what happens though is some of the aid station captains will just get it and be like, yeah. "Where there's people like, oh, there was a watermelon on the course." I'm like, "Son of a bitch." So or like every now and then somebody will have cups at one of our aid stations, and they'll be like, "We just felt like we needed cups," and I'm like, "Ah," you know, because we're a cupless races.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Like of all the things. Yeah.
But you know, so like you said though, sometimes people just show up with stuff. So,
yeah.
What do you? When do you guys think people started to realize you were down there for the race?
Not until after I was done.
No. Really? Like nobody had any idea.
I wouldn't.
People had an idea. There was there was stuff on Facebook.
But
like,
not
any local runners. Yes, you'll know soon. People were being vague.
Well, I didn't see
but,
that.
No, I mean. But, yeah.
Did I didn't allow her to post
and
I,
they
anything.
Knew it was a he because they said he'll say something soon.
Oh, they're going to be waiting a long time if they're waiting for me.
Right? We had talked about this because I was like, how is this going to all unfold? Like,
yeah.
Letting it out and letting people, especially our friends,
know
where we are.
Right.
Because nobody even knew that we were out of town. Like,
You're like, we're just having a cozy
weekend.
Yeah,
no, girl that I had met that I knew from like HAC that used to coach, and she was watching the dog, so she was at our house. I mean, his mom knew.
I didn't tell my mom until like 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
The race,
oh my gosh.
So I was like, how is this gonna unfold with our friends?
Yeah.
So we like went through all these scenarios, and I don't know. After he got done, I was like, you know, I think I'll just make my Strava public, and then I'll like post pictures of him.
Yeah.
So that's how that's what I did.
Surprise,
right? And it was later at night. So the first person to actually see that was one of the seniors on the HAC team.
Oh, that's funny.
And she was like, oh my gosh, Coach C, why are you in Tennessee?
Oh.
Did Coach V run the Barkley? Like she was. And
like she knew.
Yeah, at midnight that night, she's blowing up my phone.
That's hilarious. And that's really cool, actually, that like a young...
Yeah,
person.
Because always during cross country,
not that we're all not very
like
young
at the
also,
end
but
of the
I'm
season
old.
We would show like the Barkley Marathon.
Yeah.
Movie. To
okay.
Them as
to
whatever.
Like hype them up or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they
that's
know about
cool.
It. I know it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I think the next morning, maybe one of our friends saw my Strava and like shared it in our group thread and was like, ah.
Excuse me.
Well, I saw yours. I saw that like 8 mile like hike,
and I'm like,
this fucker's down there. And so I started texting some people, and then I go, this isn't his track. I'm like, first off, he would be kicked out, because I was like, he had his fucking GPS on, and then I was like, he only made it 8 miles. Like that's what's going through my head.
Yeah.
And then so we're texting a bunch of people, and then I was like, there's more to the story here. And so then you finally posted some stuff, and
I
was like, aha!
The picture of us at the gate before the race.
Yes.
I was like, all right, I'm just going to change my profile picture.
Yeah.
And I think that's when a lot of people finally
they
realized.
They were like, wait a minute.
And then the algorithm helped share it, because as soon as people started working on it, it started getting in everybody else's feed. So, well, cool. What was it like, kind of the vibe down there? So this was a big year. We knew there was a significant chance a female could finish because Jasmine was the only runner that had gone that far as a female in the past. But what was that vibe like in camp? So like a little bit for you, and then once you came out of your effort into camp, what was that like?
Before the race or like during the race?
All of it. Yeah, the whole scene. What was it like down there?
What was
for
like
you guys?
Before the race? Let's start there.
It was pretty calm before the race.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's just kind of strolling into camp, getting camp set up. We had our camp already set up. Was it Monday?
Yeah.
I think we set up camp, went to a hotel, came back Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the map is put out on Tuesday afternoon. You start register studying. And everything. Yeah, I didn't study enough. But, yeah, it's kind of pretty chill for the most part. Everybody's just kind of hanging out, talking before the race. And then it's kind of gets serious for a little bit. Everybody gets their map, figures out, and then they start studying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of goes off and asking questions to veterans and whatnot. And then trying to get to sleep because, right, you don't know when it's going to start. Could be midnight, could be not until, you know, noon the next day.
Yeah, you just never know.
So I was advised to, you know, do your studying, get your map and pack and everything all ready. We had our packs all ready, one pack and then another mm-hmm. pack even, all set up to go, hoping for loop two. Mm-hmm. And then I went to bed at like 6 o'clock, I think, after. Just laid down.
Yeah.
Get off your feet.
I was just about to say, at least you're off your feet.
Right. And there was no sleep to be had, really. I think I got an hour, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Because you were just like, so
the anxiety was there, and you're just ready to go, and it's like, all right, let's just get this thing started. Whirring, it's going 100 miles an hour.
I can't imagine you.
No.
I'd be sound asleep, and you'd just be pacing.
Well, so, yeah, funny story. I'll get into that.
I feel like I think I'm having a heart attack. I think you should wake up. I think, oh, my God.
But, yeah, so she was scheduled to stay up until, like, 3 o'clock or so, right?
To listen for the it was kind of crazy how it works. So
however,
like,
you want to say it.
Everyone that's on, that's crew,
yeah,
they set their alarm for 11 p.m. and they all get up and they go up to the main tent. There's like a fire up there and they just hang out and just wait for the conch to blow.
So for people that don't know, that's a warning that you've got.
1 hour.
An hour till the start of the race. So you could be sound asleep. This little conch horn blows. And if you're asleep and you don't hear it, you would not know to get up.
Yeah.
So your crew is important I'm going to try and get some sleep. You listen for this damn horn.
It's happened before where people have overslept, I think, the previous 2 years even.
Yeah.
Which is a problem because it's a time-limited race.
Exactly.
Yes.
You don't want to be late. You need every minute.
Right.
But so at about 3 o'clock in the tent, I'm probably sleeping at that point a little bit. This alarm goes off. Sounds like the conch blowing.
It
really did.
Yeah.
Oh,
went
God.
Off once. I wake up.
It was like
went
10
off again.
Seconds later.
Larry,
yeah.
I'm putting my socks and everything. Went off a third time. I get up. I go to the bathroom. Don't worry, it's just a car alarm. 3 o'clock in the morning. It sounded exactly like
it just kept happening.
So a friend and I coordinated. He was gonna get up at 3 to take over listening, and I was gonna go
so
lay
that
down.
You could,
And right before he came up, this car alarm went off, and Laz was standing there. And he looked behind him. He's like, "That's not a conch, because it's still right behind me." It's like, that's going to cause some ruckus at camp.
Oh, God.
And
do you think they did it on purpose?
No, I don't know.
I do. I think somebody did.
I don't know.
He was like, "I can't wait to mess with these people."
So she comes back to bed. I go back to bed. She falls asleep. She's snoring. 45 minutes later,
good for
the
you.
Conch
the
boys.
Best 40
good for
minutes
you.
Sleep ever.
I wake up. Put my socks on, put my everything, getting ready.
Yeah, you're
she
ready
goes,
to go.
What are you doing? Like, the conch blew. She's like, no, it didn't. I'm like, yeah, it did.
She
it's
was
time
out.
To go.
Her?
So
sleeping hard.
4:17.
Like, okay,
she was
good
out.
Luck. I'll see you later.
What do you mean? What do I do? What's happening?
But yeah, and then you
good
know,
thing you got that sleep though.
Yeah, 40 minutes.
That's all you need.
How do you even prep? This is like a whole separate side note, but how do you even prep to crew someone for a race when there's not? There's no information.
I was so stressed about it.
You don't know when, once they leave.
Yeah.
No.
You have no,
like people, nope. I feel like I know so many people that are OCD.
They got their little spreadsheet.
Yeah, they have a spreadsheet.
I'll be
with
at
like
this
A
station.
Time, B time,
yeah.
C time.
Yeah, no.
I need this at this place and this at that. You can't do any of that. But also, crew is really important in an ultra. Like you have to have somebody
especially this one. Like with a fast turnaround.
You
so,
can make an educated guess and you're allowed to
so
go up to the fire tower.
We knew, we had like an idea of when or when he wanted to come in at.
Right.
So after like they all left, all of the crew just went to bed.
Because they're like, we've got some time.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll see you in a little bit.
So I coordinated with a friend, and we're like, all right, we're going to leave to go to the fire tower at this time because we knew it would take us like an hour to get up there.
Yeah.
And just hang out and wait for them to come. So that's what we did. And mm-hmm. we get up there, and someone coming down was like, oh, you just missed the leaders by like 2 minutes.
Oh.
We're like, okay. But then we saw like Harvey come down and Tomo and someone after him, and we're like, all right, it's fine. So we're just hanging up at the fire tower all day.
Just waiting.
Look, just waiting.
That's crewing it's, in an ultra.
Yeah.
Hurry up and wait.
Like, yeah.
It's like the army. Hurry up and wait.
Us and like everyone else's crew.
Yeah.
There was probably 10 of us.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, they should have been here by now. Like, what's going on? Yep. Something went horribly wrong.
Right.
And you have to be off of the trials at Frozen Head by 6:45. Like, they change it every day depending on sunlight. So we're like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, like,
and now what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're okay, they can still make it to the gate by 13:20. And, you know, they still have time.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you're just like, fuck. Like, that's just... And then you just feel awful for them because you know, like, they're not going to make another loop.
Right.
So finally, he comes up with a couple other guys, and I was like, relieved, obviously, because I knew they
were
okay.
You didn't die.
You didn't die.
Well, you got here on your own, so that's good.
This is an interesting conversation, though. So I had a conversation with somebody today about almost like the liability of the race. Like, so this year was good weather, but there are years. So you go off into the woods. You have a map and a compass and your headlamp and whatever you can carry in your pack.
Yeah.
And the idea really is we're not going to see you for hours. So if something goes wrong, it will be furthermore hours before people even say, hey, something went wrong.
Yep.
And if something really had gone wrong, you are hours behind being able to think about finding that person.
Yeah, it can be
off the trail in the thicket.
It can be over a day. Yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting... It's one of the very few races where that is the case. Like, we lost a runner once at Many on the Jenny because he turned around after the sweeper had come through. Right. And then, like, got himself all twisted around. But, like, we found him, like, in, like, 10 minutes. He was, like,
and it
we,
was
know, we knew where to look.
He's on a trail.
But
he should be on a trail.
Yeah, he was on a trail, right?
So, so I can't imagine.
It's limited, right?
Like, yeah.
I can't imagine not knowing.
But if he was going to say, I'm going to just hike down to the river.
Yeah.
Because I know the river can get me out. Like, we would have nowhere to look.
Be like, hey, Phil.
Yeah,
exactly. Got a problem.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about – I want to talk – so we only have – I want to stop this when we get to a certain time so these file sizes aren't too big. But let's talk a little bit about the course, right? Because, as she said, you show up a little behind schedule.
Yeah, maybe like 4 hours.
It was probably about two. I showed up at the fire tower, 11 and a half hours? So it was probably two and a half, 3 hours.
Yeah,
probably 3 hours.
It was 12 hours.
So, one of the things that you said... It's neither here nor there. One of the things you said earlier was if you think Rat Jaw is hard, you wouldn't have a chance at Barkley. So just give me a little gist of what this course felt like for you with your 1,000 miles of climbing in Ellison.
It was by far the hardest thing I've ever done. And
that's what I've heard.
it truly is. Like, so I said earlier, like BFC, if you do that, and that's hard. You know, that's 12,000 feet and 31, 35 miles, whatever, but it's mostly on trail.
Right.
These trails are, it's off trail. There's briars. Yeah. There's blowdowns. There's 20 to 30, 40 foot cliffs that you're running down this hill, and you don't know they're there. You better slow down and go around them.
Right.
Right.
And that's stuff you got to take into account. Or if you're going up, you're like, oh, I ran into a high wall. Now I got to go around either direction. Find a safe spot to climb up. It's you're talking 45 degree angles on these climbs. It's
so
steep.
Now if you consider the years with bad weather where it's fog and just pouring rain.
Yeah. So and yeah, exactly. I mean, we had perfect weather this year. And even last year it was slightly cold for them, but it was still like you put any kind of rain or fog or snow on the course, nobody finishes this.
Yeah, and that's what happens.
So yeah, everybody got, you know, they got lightning in a bottle this year and took advantage of it. And I mean, I can't imagine going on that course in a downpour.
Right.
Like some of the climb, I mean, you're on all fours climbing up
right.
some of these hills.
Yeah, every now and then a picture will kind of leak out of somebody just lean, like they're using their trekking poles, but it's almost like they're vertical.
Yeah.
Like,
sometimes
and they're slipping. And,
sometimes
yeah.
it's easier just to put the trekking poles
and
away
your hands.
And climb on trees and use your hand, use all fours.
So they don't have like a rope like at WTF.
No, not you may find an occasional rope out there, but it's not tied to anything.
It's just there.
Yeah. It's just you can't being off trail. I mean,
right.
And then the navigation of it, trying to
because
maintain
there's no
a line.
Flags.
No, there's absolutely
just,
no.
Just
markers.
To confirm for everyone listening, if you are not sure about what this race actually entails. You're not following flags.
No,
and just, even if you follow the person in front of you, it doesn't mean they're going the right
way. Right. Were you ever with other people, or were you? Yeah. You were okay. Now was that an intentional decision? Like we're gonna stick together?
A little bit.
Okay.
So it was two virgins together.
Yeah.
How much good that did? Well, I mean, we made it back, so
yeah,
we did pretty good. But yeah, all the so there was a this year there's a big group of veterans and virgins that ended up there's like 16 to 18 of them
they yeah
were together
just
through
together.
Most of probably through book five
yeah
and then it probably started separating and I had issues on the first climb like I don't know if it was any anxiety or whatever
he was
but
shaking before
my breathing
I
was a little hyped up or whatever but the first climb like this is awful. Like,
yeah.
I shouldn't be feeling this way.
You're like, I'm
and then
do
after
for...
that, I like eased into it and settled
right.
in, and it was fine. But I wasn't able to keep up with them. And then me and this other veteran, that virgin that I ran into at BFC, we ran together. And we're like, all right, well, let's stay together for the most part through the new part of the section and navigate that together. You know, four eyes.
Well, so he changed
two.
The course this year because he was mad that so many people finished last year.
Added
he's
extra,
like, I'll get you.
Yeah, added extra books. The new section was hell. It was a pain in the ass. But yeah, so we stayed together most of the whole loop. And it helped navigating together.
Yeah.
But in the end, we still messed up.
Yeah. So I think this is a perfect place to take a break, and then we'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, your a little bit more finish your experience on course. Then I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that happened, and then maybe future Barclays. We'll talk.
Sure.
All right. All right, we're back. So let's get right to it then. Let's get to the nitty gritty. How far did you make it?
Well, not as far as I would have liked. We finished the first loop.
So you got through the first loop, and what happened?
Got all our 15 pages, but it was just about 2 hours over the time limit to continue on for the fun run. It was about 4.5 hours. Later than what I was hoping.
Which had planned, yeah.
I was hoping for 10.5 hours on the first loop. But we lost probably 3.5 hours to navigation. Being on the wrong mountain.
Gotta be on the right mountain.
Exactly. The instructions make complete sense when you're on the right mountain. When you're on the wrong mountain, further to the north. They don't make that much sense, and you just keep searching for a book that's not there.
So in an event like this, it's like you could be the most fit person in the world, but if you don't have, like, world-class orienteering skills, unless you got someone that's showing you how to do it.
I wouldn't say world-class, but you have to have some, and you have to...
Yeah. Well, I guess the reason I would say that is because once you get into 2 days of not sleeping, those skills are going to deteriorate. So the better they are...
Yeah,
the more important that is.
I'm sure it helps. I didn't make it to 2 days without sleep, but yet. I forgot what I was going to say.
Your books, Wrong Mountain, the course, your time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll ruin lots of people's stories.
No,
he did
but
not
navigating.
Do a lot of navigation. And I said that going in. I was like, don't you think you should practice navigation? And he's like, no. I can read a compass. Like, I have a map. I know how to read a map and compass. And we went to Mendon in a snowstorm. He, like, picked out.
Figured it out.
Yeah, and yeah. It was fine. And he's like, okay, this maybe isn't so bad.
Completely different, though, when you're at a park that you don't know, like, the back of your hand, like Mendon, even a snowstorm.
I was going to ask about that,
It's so like maybe you should have gone down to, like, Conklin's Gully or something.
Yeah, I know Conklin. Conklin's
well, never mind.
But no, it's completely different.
But like to go someplace where you don't.
To go out and like actually like get yourself lost with a map and be like, all right, I gotta.
How do I get out of here?
Right.
Real quick, as our own little plug, since people are listening to this, we have partnered with Rochester Rock Orienteering. On April 14th, we are going to do a intro to orienteering for trail runners. So it says, you can run, but can you read a map? So we are going to show some people, and I'll put this into the show notes. They're going to do a compass tutorial and then some practice course for a few hours out there in Mendon on the 14th of April. So we'll put that in there. And do you think something like that would have helped you a little or no? Because you're competent with a compass?
Basic stuff, yes, but that doesn't mean I don't need more practice.
Sure.
Everybody can use more practice. So
hint, maybe everybody out there. Should go.
Back to your, like, saying you can be the best runner in the world or whatever, the best navigator in the world. You kind of have to have all those tools.
All the skills. Exactly.
You don't have to be an expert at all of them, but you have to be able to manage all of them.
Right.
To get through the loop, because it's going to take all of them. And as you go further and you're sleep deprived, you have to rely on some of those skills.
Or just tired. I mean, the course is, it's tired. Not like it's an easy course. Right. It's not like you're on a groomed trail, you know.
Well, there's not a ton of opportunity to just grind, which the course requires, because you also have to pay attention.
Right. Yeah, there are a few areas where you're on trail or on rat jaw. Or another climb where you can just shut it off and you can just go.
Right.
But yeah, those are really limited. So yeah, your brain is engaged the whole time and you're thinking like, all right, I'm going down this hill. I got to follow this river or stream down to the next.
Yeah. You're looking at contour lines on a map. And
yeah.
Well, and I guess like that's when you're running an ultra and you have a pacer, like that's why you have a pacer because
they're your brain.
At some point and so to be in a race where it's going to be incredibly physically demanding and also good luck, you're on your own. So I think like probably being with another runner is probably good. I feel like that would be a really smart strategy. Yeah, like you're saying, like four eyes is better than two.
That's why most people try to group up.
Yeah.
Especially with a veteran. Because supposedly they know
they
the course
know,
or
right.
should know the
supposedly
course.
Supposedly says.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't get into that. but yeah, I mean, the more eyes, the better. Because then even if you're navigating good and you're right on your line and you come to where you're supposed to be, you're still trying to find
a
book that's in a hollow of a tree or underneath a rock and
in a bag.
They do look all the same sometimes. And it's
yeah.
So the more eyes, the better.
You mean they don't make them like a bright color?
No, there's no
flags.
Yeah.
Bright lights that say, hey, the book is here.
Which I guess is kind of like, so when I think about.
It's like geocaching.
Well, I was going to say, because when I think about rock orienteering, like it's. You know, the permanent courses have those red
reflective
things.
Yeah.
And then the, I don't know, the movable courses are like the controls are that orange and white thing, like flag thing.
Yeah.
So it's, you can see it. Yeah. I mean, if you're getting close, you're like, oh, there it is. Okay.
But it's like reflective.
Right. When you find the books, though, it's so exciting.
I was just about to say, it's got to be.
It's got this feeling of excitement.
It's
so how many books did you find?
We found all 15 on the first loop. We completed the first loop. It was just over time.
Do you get to keep the pages?
Yep. At what point?
I do. Actually,
that's kind of cool.
I actually have them in
my
pocket.
You frame them
up.
Do
you really? Just keep them?
Just keep reading them, memorize the pages.
But no, I didn't know if there was going to be a question on names of books. Or...
No.
What is written on the fourth line of the third?
So it's kind of funny. So the second to last book? I mean, it's not funny, but... I got there, maybe it was the third to last book, and the name, so my bib number was 73, you have to pull that page out of the book, and it was the beginning of the chapter, and it was called Lost Black Lab. So I have a black lab who is 14 and a half years old, and that one made me break down. Like, I started tearing up, like, really?
Yeah, like, you're like, come
so
on.
So that was a little,
yeah,
it
the thing
was funny, but it was like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He's fine though. Sam's fine.
Yeah. He's so at what point on this first loop, because you're like, I'm doing this freaking loop. At what point did you realize, I don't think we're pulling this off, and that means certainly not finishing the race, right? So like, at what point did that sink in?
Probably just before the fire tower.
Yeah.
Before I got to her, which was the fire tower is just after book 11, I think, or book 10.
Okay.
And I was coming into kind of a low point because I needed calories. So yeah. I was struggling up this last climb, and I was a little woozy, and like, I sat down, ate a hamburger, McDonald's hamburger, pocket burgers.
Pocket burger.
Well, the other guy that
That's an adventure racing thing.
Yeah.
They do wonders. I was sitting down on this rock ledge, and the other guy I was with was looking for the book because we were right at the book. I'm like, I got to eat this burger. Like, you can look for the book. I'll help you in a minute. I have to eat. I ate that. We found the book, went up to the fire tower, and that's when she saw me. And it's like, you look mad or
he
like,
looks so pissed.
Sad or
he
whatever.
Looked at me and was like.
And that's about the time. Like, I mean, I knew what the clock was, and I knew coming.
So you had a little calorie deficit going, and you were like, shit.
Coming to the tower, like,
you're
like, I know,
now I gotta see someone I love. Ah!
Not so much that, but I knew how long it was gonna take from the tower to the finish.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, if I can do that in 4 hours at this point, that's probably good, and that's gonna be way, you know, I had
to
make
2 hours.
2 hours. I'm like,
yeah,
even if I push, I'm not
gonna
make it.
It's not gonna, yeah.
Would you have wanted to go back out if you had just made that cutoff? You would have wanted to go back out.
I would have.
Yeah.
I would not, even if I didn't have
to. You didn't even hesitate. You're like,
I went into this race like, there's no quit. Like, if I make the cutoff by 1 minute,
I'm going
back out. There's no stopping. I will.
And
die
it was
on
crazy
course.
Too, because like, I knew there was 99.9% he would not make it back, but I also know he had like 2 hours and 4 minutes to make it back, and I was
hold
like,
off weirder things.
You can do it.
I was like, what if he does make it back, and I'm not there to have like.
Oh yeah,
because
it was like
ready.
An hour, to get to the for
so
you, like
up.
For your
like, I was like, I blasted down that mountain, and I got his other pack, and I
just in case
all of the warm clothes into it, all the rusty
pocket
burgers, like packs of Tailwind. And I just brought it to the gate, like
just in case.
I'm ready. And I knew.
Like, you're like, I'm not gonna be the reason.
Right. It was a very crazy.
But I mean, at that point too, is we had made so many navigational errors.
How do you even know that you've made an error? Like, legitimate question. You're out. There's no flags. You just have this random map, but you don't know the area.
Right.
Like, at what point are you like, damn.
Part of it's a feeling.
Okay.
Like, you can, like,
we should have found this damn book by now.
I was like, this just doesn't feel right. Like, the road we were on, you know, there were no, like, footprints or anything.
Okay.
And some of it was a little muddy. We're like, well, maybe they went around it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there should probably be some footprints here of other runners if they came this way. It's just more of a feeling. And then you look at your map and it's like, try to figure out where you are.
Right.
Yeah. We're off course.
Because that's, like, I just can't imagine how do you figure it out, and when do you figure it out?
You have to stop sooner than what we did.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But there's people that, like, were out there more than you guys were. Like, they didn't make it past, like, book 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find where they were.
Yeah. Especially get out there at night and makes.
I can't imagine at night.
What time? I don't remember. What time did the race start?
It's 5:17.
Yeah, so you went in the morning, so you had the first full day of like daylight.
Yeah, which was good.
Yeah. So. But it's just crazy. Like, I think most people who have run a race on a trail before have gotten into a situation where you don't see a flag for a little while, and you're like, oh no, did I make a wrong turn? Did I miss something? Yeah. So I can't imagine that feeling, but like, did I miss something? I don't know. Like,
this is, I would say my temperament would not be good for this. I would be more of like a mule. Like but as soon as we got significantly off course, I would get annoyed.
Yeah.
Like one, if somebody else was doing the navigation, I'd be like, I knew I should have just fucking learned and done this. But two, if I made the mistake, then I would be so mad at myself for making the mistake. That's like my personality doesn't lend itself to this sort of thing very well. Which might be why I don't particularly care too much for these things.
Like, we almost died at Allegheny State Park once.
It, I mean, you have to manage that. Like, your emotions. You're going to make mistakes, right? Like, Greg Hamilton made a mistake he's a world-class navigator.
Yeah.
He made a mistake on the fifth loop looking for, I forget which book. He corrected it, and he still finished. So you have to manage that, or else you have no chance. Like,
well, but I think that's, like, on the break, that's what we were kind of talking about, is people who have that, like, I'm always smiling. I've got this.
Yeah,
like, I love the challenge of this.
Right.
And I think there's really something to be said for that in any race. Like, not just this race, but just having that positive. Even when you don't feel like you're having a pot. Like, I always say when I'm running a race thanking volunteers, I'm like, oh, I hate you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you're here.
Like, it helps you.
It does. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think, like, having that positive mindset really can make or break a race.
For sure. Yeah.
So other than that, right, having the ability to overcome, like, mistakes, you want to go back?
I do.
So
absolutely.
What did you learn
from your training, from
your experience on the course, from your time there? What have you learned that's like, this is going to help me succeed?
What's the first thing you said to me?
I don't know, but I forget.
I got to work on my climbing. And I was like, what the fuck?
Well, I'm like, wait, really?
So the course is challenging.
So I thought I was a good climber.
Yeah.
And then going up the first climb, you have all the elite of the elite are just going and going, and whether I had an issue or not at the beginning with anxiety or whatever, they're like going. I'm like, what the fuck?
You feel
I'm
like you're getting dropped.
Get to book two.
Well, I think that, but that's like that mindset, right? Is when you see somebody else and you're like, why do they look like it's so easy?
I'm looking. We have. It's funny. I just had a double tap. Sheila's
phone. I'm like, what is happening?
We have. So our notes for the show are in Google Docs, and I was looking at it, and all of a sudden,
it's still going.
It was your words were showing up on my computer.
Talk to text.
Because Sheila's phone is picking up what we're saying.
Nice.
So I'm like, how the hell are his words showing up in my show notes?
It's magic.
Yeah. So
all part of that Barkley magic.
but going back to like training, I mean, like I said, when I first got here, like physically, I felt good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could have gone on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And continued. So I think the training that I did was decent.
Yeah.
Could it be better? Sure. It can be better. And everybody's training is different. Like people respond to different.
Yeah.
Some people like more hills. Some people like more tempo runs or fast speed work and then hills at the end. So everything's different for, you know, each individual. But for me, like going forward, the biggest thing was navigation. Like, and I think whether it was confidence in myself to just say, fuck it, you guys, I'm going by myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, leave who I was with. But the navigation part of it was what killed me this year. It wasn't the physical aspect of it, even though, I mean, it was hard as hell.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's designed to be
hard as hell.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point.
It was doable. Like, yeah, I got to the end. I mean, I ran from the end of the last book all the way to the gate, and I still felt fine.
Right.
I was still moving good.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't physical.
That's got to be hard, too, because then you're like, I'm ready and I can keep going, but I can't.
It's a feeling of accomplishment and like disappointment all in one.
Right.
And like I'm still fighting that now. Like I'm disappointed now. It's still an accomplishment.
But also,
I mean, like you got all the pages, which is huge.
I was just gonna say, which is a big deal because a lot of people don't.
It's such an experience to figure that out.
Right, and that's all part of the learning process, right? Barkley is normally
the Barkley experience.
Right.
How many virgins have finished the race?
A couple.
Yeah.
And like, what's the return rate? I don't know what you would call that. Like,
so Aurelian
veteran finish rate compared to virgin finish rate, I guess.
So Aurelian finished last year in his first year. And came back this year, and he was like,
in the second
league. I don't know how I finished last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's so hard yeah. the second
year. The day just worked.
He said the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, he finished his first year and the second and third year back.
It's so hard to come back because you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the mind part of it.
Well, there's the mental.
Well, and you have to have that, like, why am I doing this? Yep. Right? So I think sometimes the first finish maybe is, like, that best. You're like, I'm doing this. And then when it gets really, really, really hard and you've already done it, I have a lot of respect for those guys that, like, multiple finishes to, like, there's no reason, right? Like,
you've already done it.
Yeah, and it's not any easier. It never gets any easier.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, I quit BFC the last 2 years because why? Like, I've already done it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be doing it.
Isn't that interesting? It's all... Ultras are so much of a mental game.
Yeah. You have to want 100%. To want to finish it and want to do it.
Too. So I think that over time, a lot of people are going to want to pick your brain. A lot of people are going to want to talk to you. And so you can't be as introverted as you want to be.
Good luck finding me.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to find you at Ellison climbing up and down a hill.
You have to do all the talking because you know I don't. Hence why I was the one messaging you.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't want to talk to you.
But I do want to have an opportunity here for you to do some. So you're a little bit at camp, and then once you finish your first loop as well, you were back there. Yep. Then this vibe started to kick in, like, hey, something big is happening here. And it seems like, unfortunately, a crowd showed up. I know Laz does not really want that. He's trying to find a way to stop people from showing up. But it happened, but there was a huge accomplishment that people were looking for, which would be the first female finish, not to mention, you know, multiples of people out on that last loop with the eligibility to get through in time. So what was it like at camp for you guys then?
To witness
something.
So even going into this, I was like, this is the year. Like, this is the year to be here. This is the year for him to get in. Like, Jasmine's going to finish.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he knew, I mean, you know who's in when you're in. Because there's, like, a group that you're part of.
Okay.
So I was like, she's going to finish this year. It's going to happen.
Like, this is it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she's interesting. She's got no sponsors, no social media, no Strava. She's just a runner.
Love it.
And a vet. And a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Like, works full time. It's
Those are the
it's
runners
crazy.
That are the most interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know? Because you have all these other responsibilities, and then also you are able to train at this level that allows you to be the peak,
right?
You know,
but it was, I mean, it was crazy. Like,
you know, you go back to the vibe in camp, like, it changed to, you know, there's so you had the four males finishing there and everything, there's excitement, and then just like tension. Everybody's
and
looking at their watch.
I was just about to say, because everybody's trying to
10 minutes,
see.
5 minutes,
even before that, like, the transitions between loops, was crazy to watch because. Watching her go out into loop four,
she looked rough.
She looked horrible.
Yeah, that's what
she
I've read.
She was, like, exhausted and just tired, and, like, the food thing wasn't...
Yeah, it was Laz's report. He had actually considered not allowing her to go back out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, she looked bad.
Because he's really slim.
Yeah, but he was thinking, like, what's my responsibility here? She looks horrible.
Yeah, because right before...
She looks sick.
So, Jared and her, he had a, like, he let her pick the direction. Like, he was running.
Right.
So in the final loop, every other runner has to go the other direction, and the clockwise direction is considered
easier.
And so he was at camp and he waited and gave her the choice. Yep.
It was, and that happened earlier in the race too with John Kelly and and it, like, all
and
of
honestly,
it,
I mean, she finished with 99 seconds.
I was just
going to
say, she
wouldn't have made it
any
other way.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows that.
Right.
And, like, Jared, I thanked him. Like, I shook his hand before we left, and I was like, what you did for
Jasmine,
like,
act.
Thank you.
I think that's, so as much as I'm like, this isn't trail running, that is trail running right?
Saying.
This is like the epitome of what we always hope this community will do, is he said, this is a moment that's bigger than me.
Yep.
Me going counterclockwise might mean I don't finish this thing, but I really need this opportunity for this sport in this moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's – I'm thinking that's probably what's going through his head, is I've done this. This might cost me my race, but it's the right thing to do for this group, right?
And it goes back to, like, all ultra runners. Like, it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you're from here or, like, south or where.
I think
the same thing.
It's the stop and help somebody that's hurt on the trail, right? You will watch a road marathon, and people will literally step on you.
Yep.
And that will not happen in trail running. No. People will carry you out of the woods rather than, you know, so it's different in that sense. It really is.
Yeah. Any four of those guys, I think, would have, if they were in the jersey, they would have done it.
100%.
Without question. Yeah.
And now that one woman has finished, it'll be interesting to see, because I feel like, you know, we... Like, when one person accomplishes something, then it's like,
You have to see her to be her?
Yeah, it was like, I don't remember what it's called. There's like that. Yeah.
It was crazy, though. And as far as, like, the whole camp atmosphere goes, so there's rules set in place, like, ahead of time. There's a crew guide.
Right. And you can only bring one person.
You can bring one person, and everybody has, like... a wristband, so they know that you belong there.
Okay.
And yes, the park is open to the public.
Right.
But the campground
is, like, so small.
Yeah.
And there's only limited bathrooms, and it's just
Why he keeps it the way
makes sense.
It's a balancing act, and it's tough, I think, for him too, because there is so much interest in it.
Right.
And then once it's out on social media, you know, whether it's Twitter or whatever, somebody else leaking something, people know, and then they want to come and be, especially this year with Jasmine being on the fifth loop. It's like, all right, if we're close by, let's go.
That was another rule, too, in the crew guide. Like, if anyone got caught posting to social media about, hey,
this is where we are, this is what's
happening. Barkley started, and, like, posting pictures of your runners or any other runners, like, your runner could be DQ'd.
Right, right.
You don't want that to happen, obviously.
Right. So, like, how do people find out?
Probably
Twitter.
Keith Dunn is on Twitter, and he updates what's happening on the race. So
he's the only source, essentially, of the race.
And they do it while the race is happening, but they don't.
Yeah, and he does things like, red hat guy is through loop two.
Doesn't want people there, so why would they do that?
They've always done it.
Yeah.
We're giving them descriptions. Gino and I were like, oh yeah, there's the texting back down to him.
But it's funny.
It's fun, and
it's kind of a no-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way in today's day and age with all of the technology that we have, I feel like there's no way to prevent it.
No, right.
But I feel like, given all of the technology we have, it's pretty amazing that it stays as secret as it does.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's another reason for this race to be intriguing, you know, is, I mean, to keep a secret like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a decent number of people that are involved. If you have 40 runners plus one crew each.
100 plus people that are...
Right.
Yeah. Associated with the race.
I was just going to say, plus the staff.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm assuming people involved with the park.
Right.
People, you know what I mean? People in that town.
And essentially, at the end, that's who shows up are the
locals.
Yeah.
Within an hour.
Right.
What's happening.
Right.
It's not.
There was a moment coming off the fire tower that was, there was a video and Jasmine was going to cut it close. And there was three guys, and I don't know who they were with, if they were with her, they were just random, with cameras. And one of them, it really looked like almost cut her off. She had to make kind of a hard left and downhill. And I saw this video, and I said to myself, when I saw how she actually finished, if he tripped her, she would not have made it. Just the simple act of falling to the ground in that moment would have cost her the race.
So there's some media are allowed there. They have to, like, email him or whatever, like, way ahead of time and get approval for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I met some of, like, the older media that has been around that does a lot of high-profile races.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was saying, like, there's some of these younger kids that don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, like, getting in the way of shots. And you just kind of want to be like, hey.
That's not, like, what this is. Yeah.
Right.
They're good people, but some of what I saw done by some of them trying to get that shot, if I were still in the race, my attitude, I probably would have smacked the camera out of my face.
Yeah,
so, that's how I feel about the media.
Right.
Yeah, so thankfully, it didn't take away from what happened, and it didn't take away for. So what was it like to be there for it? And then we're gonna have to wrap up because time wise we'll be where we were. So what was it like to be there to the energy that happened as you see her make the turn, and all
it
of a sudden
insane.
You're watching the clock and you're going, oh my god, this is close.
It was
the most incredible, like, sporting event that I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
Like, just for the historic value. Like,
yeah.
No woman's gonna finish this, and then.
Yeah.
The way she came running in, and it was just amazing. The energy there, everybody's cheering for her.
Everybody was on edge.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I said to the one girl, our one friend got a phone call and was like, she's at the storybook trial. And I was like,
oh,
well, fuck, at what point? Because that could be, like, further away, and she has, like, 2 minutes to get in. And then...
like, depending on where on the trail
right.
she is. Yeah, yeah.
Our other friend was like, oh, my God, she's so close. And I was like, someone just needs to, like, scream.
Yeah.
So she stood up, and she was like, go, Jasmine. And at that point, camp just fucking
erupted. Oh, I'm sure.
And after that, it was just nonstop until she came in. And I think it was actually John Kelly's son saw her rounding the corner and, like, ran up. The road
to say she was
and was like, she's coming.
Yeah.
And
it had to be cool for her because I'm sure she could hear it. And
yeah.
she
yeah,
was
and
probably
she,
like,
if you read the
hell yeah.
maybe we don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
she said that what
just
that's
pushing.
What pushed her through. Like
yeah.
was everybody cheering
knowing that everybody yeah.
Yeah.
But that's I mean to cut it that close.
I think everybody
had to be
at
so stressful
yeah.
was shaking
yeah.
and like nervous
there are,
and
there are
I
a
mean,
lot of
it's
tears
interesting.
And
I think
yeah.
In terms of like women's sports accomplishments, I think it can go on par with literally anything that's happened, in the sense that, like, so she's won the Spine Race outright. She's has some records, but this is something that people legitimately weren't sure.
Yeah.
Can a female finish this? Like, I mean, testosterone matters, and strength and climbing skills and the speed that you need to carry for that amount of time. All that stuff matters. So, like, the navigational skills, that's obviously there's nothing that will be limiting factor for a woman there. But there were people that just they weren't sure. And like John Kelly addressed it back in like 2018. Like he's like, yeah, somebody can. He's like, but they just haven't. And
yeah.
Yes, it's so interesting to me because I feel like we know women are better at ultras than men. Like we know that. So it's just so interesting to me that for this particular race, people were like,
well, I think women are better at finishing ultras than men, but they don't hold any
time,
records.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like time
and
wise,
this is a timed
time
loop, and not just the finish. Each loop has a cutoff too. Like you got to get out by this certain time.
Yep. Right, right.
So people were, there was people that thought, gee, this will never happen. So to see it and be there,
had to be really cool.
as a sporting event, a spectacle. It is a once in a lifetime thing. So to be there is pretty cool.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And, you know, that's what trail running can offer that most sports can't as well, right? You ran a race, and you participated with some of the best runners in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
And you were there with them. You shared the experience with them. Like, trail running, you're never going to go play basketball with Jordan. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to do that.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you're not playing a real game against somebody in a professional sport, but you are in trail running.
Yeah.
You know?
You're an equal.
Yeah. And even in road running, there's a separate corral.
Just,
like,
yeah.
You know?
And especially a race like this.
You guys were just right there.
Yeah.
I was right behind
arm
Jared
arm.
Campbell at
right.
the start. Like,
yeah,
you know, I should not be here.
Yeah. But you should be, right? Because that's what the sport is. You should
right.
be there. You know.
And that's the feeling at camp, too.
It's
like,
crazy.
Nobody acts like they're better than somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, we walked up to Gary Robbins and we're like, hey, we introduced ourselves. Like, can we get a picture? And he was just like, it's super cool about it.
Right.
I mean, Jared Campbell's wife, Mindy, I met her in the bathroom and she's like just a normal person.
Right.
As we all are.
Right.
And
but it's like crazy to have that experience and realize, like, because you can know that in your head, like, okay, they're just people. But then when you actually see them and you're like, oh.
Yeah, like Harvey. I mean, we met Harvey before the map even came out.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we're all here together, but, like, is it weird to ask for a picture with them or is it not? Because
it's
just like everybody's just there.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was.
Yeah. So you want to go back? They both looked at each other and like, let me narrate.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out, you know, once you finish, when the pictures go on Facebook.
Yeah. Once I finish.
Yes, right. Like, see, you always have to say yet.
The next time
when we work with kids, we say back, growth mindset. You haven't done it yet.
And you go back and you both race against each other.
Right. That's, I was like, so is this your life goal now, is to finish the Barkley?
Maybe.
So this is what we're going for.
I like it.
Well, listen, I'm excited that someone from our area got really cool. And you've put a lot into this. So I know a lot of people are going to want to talk to you, and hopefully we're able to share a little bit about what it was like. And you know, but now it's not a secret anymore, so you can you can talk to your heart's content, or you can just go grind on some hills and let people experience it that way. So we're gonna put a whole bunch of stuff from today in the show notes. We're gonna put some of the stuff from John,
like, contact
Kelly
information for Nick,
because
he really likes to talk
cell phone
to people.
He loves people texting.
Right.
I don't have a cell phone.
What? He'll never respond.
Yeah.
I'm like, texting. No, so, way. You gotta make a phone call.
But we'll put, you know, some information on the Barkley Fall Classic. We're gonna have. Yeah. We're going to put our link to the orienteering event if anybody wants to come and learn a little bit about orienteering.
It'll be fun. I was just going to say, it's a good skill to have, even if Barkley is not something that's on your radar.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like understanding how to read a map and use a compass.
If you enjoy hiking, like, you should know how to orient.
If you're going
to
be in the woods, you should know how to navigate.
So we'll do all that. And then for us, I don't know. Maybe we won't do an episode next week because I won't have to come up with a topic because we did one this week. Maybe we'll just throw this as an extra one in there and we'll see. It's longer than normal for us, too.
It is. Yeah. But it was worthwhile. And also, I feel like we could continue talking for
probably like five
more hours.
So maybe we'll talk a little bit after we shut this thing down here. And then.
We got more beer, right?
Oh, there's always beer in this house.
I am known as the beer fairy. In
this is true.
So, well, hey, thank you both so much. I was excited
coming.
To hear your story. And then we'll keep talking. And then. People can share.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations again.
Yeah, good work. Yeah.
All right, that's it. We're out. Bye.
Bye.
Sound Strike. Self-drive.